ESPN 1000 presents The Fantasy Football Show with Jeff Meller. Hard-hitting fantasy info to help you land that job this weekend. Jeff Meller shares the latest news, injury updates, and tips to help you set your lineup. The Fantasy Football Show, presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey and brought to you in part by ETI School of Skilled Trades. Your football Sunday starts now with Jeff Meller on ESPN Chicago.
Good morning. Happy Sunday to you. Sunday fun day. NFL Week 10. I am Jeff Meller. This is the Fantasy Football Show with you every Sunday morning during football season, starting at 7 a.m. here until 8, taking your phone calls at 312-332-3776. And as always, thanks to the fine folks over at Tullamore Dew. For being the presenting sponsor of the Fantasy Football Show. If you want to get after it with me on Twitter, you can hit me up on X at Jeff underscore Meller. That's M-E-L-L-E-R. But if you're new to the show, this is the Fantasy Football Show where I run through all the key injury and news updates this morning as we have them here at 7:01 Central Time. And then after that, I will take your phone calls and we will give you some advice for your fantasy football lineup. Of course, it is always customary to mention off the top the big going-ons on Thursday night's game. And, of course, there were lots of bigs going on in that game. It was a shootout in Baltimore. Ravens, of course, winning that one 35-34. And you are probably either very happy or very sad because there were three monstrous performances, starting with Joe Burrow's four touchdown passes, 428 yards. Opposing Lamar Jackson's four touchdowns and his 290 passing yards. He also added 33 rushing. And then, of course, there's Ja'Marr Chase, who, if you are playing against Ja'Marr Chase in PPR formats, he probably put a 50 burger on you. At least. Maybe 55. Which he did to this guy. I raise my hand right now on the YouTube streaming video. All right, so if you are going to have to make a huge comeback, let's start it now.
McCaffrey is the single back. Here's the snap. Purdy hands off. Left side McCaffrey jumping. Gets out of an ankle tackle. Leading to the goal line. He's in. Touchdown 49ers.
All right. So finally, the consensus. First overall pick in fantasy football this season. Christian McCaffrey returns. He will be back in the lineup for the 49ers as they head to Tampa Bay today to take on the Mike Evans list for at least another 2 weeks because the Bucs have the bye, although there is hope that Mike Evans might return in week 11. But Christian McCaffrey will be back for the 49ers today. What do you do with him? I have to imagine in most scenarios you're going to want to start him. Now, there may be a few teams out there who are stacked at the running back spot, and you may want to hold off. We don't really have any clarity about just how much McCaffrey's going to be used today. I expect we're going to see a pretty healthy workload to the point where you're going to want to have him in your lineup. We know he's a touchdown factor whenever the Niners get in near the red zone. So I'm going to say for most teams, the advice is going to be go ahead and use Christian McCaffrey.
Wants to throw, does, toward the left sideline. Open is Deebo Samuel, breaks the tackle at midfield, down the sideline to the 40, chugging to the 30, slips through a tackle at the 20, and he'll take it all the way, 76 yards.
And Deebo will also be back for the 49ers, dealing with that rib and oblique injury. He should be active. We're expecting him to be back in action for the 49ers as well.
Second and 10 from the 12. Play clock down to 5. Allen in the shotgun takes the snap. Blitz coming. Fires over the middle for Amari Super Cooper for a 12-yard touchdown reception. Here's the snap, and they throw a quick hitter to Coleman, who catches it over the head of Woolen for a touchdown. Keon Coleman went up and pulled it off the roof.
All right, a couple of Bills wide receivers here. It looks like Amari Cooper likely to be active today. Got to check on that one. Again, inactives will roll in around 10:30 Central Time. That is a noon kick. The Bills in Indianapolis to take on the Colts at Lucas Oil Stadium. Coleman, though, we do know is out, and this could be a multi-week injury for him. Too bad, because obviously he was kind of over, I'd say the last month or so, putting his imprint on this passing offense, at least until he bobbled that ball last week that ultimately ended up right in Jalen Ramsey's arms for an interception and cost Josh Allen a touchdown. But nevertheless, I digress. So Keon Coleman out for at least a couple of weeks. It looks like, though, Amari Cooper will be back for the Bills on the other side of the ball in Indianapolis.
Pittman just three targets, one catch. Here they come. Flacco to the end zone. It is caught. Jabal Pittman. Touchdown.
We will not be hearing a Michael Pittman touchdown this week. He's already been ruled out for the Colts, and this offense, I don't really want any part of it. You have to, no doubts, go with Jonathan Taylor if you're using him, but don't love what we're seeing, especially after watching last Sunday Night Football's game against the Vikings. Colts offense is scuffling along these days. No Pittman. A.D. Mitchell, I suppose, in deeper formats, is somebody who could see a bump with Pittman out. So maybe, just maybe, although I still think Josh Downs is going to be your number one option for the Colts in their passing game with Joe Flacco under center.
Pitts, Mooney, and McLeod here to the right. Robinson's come out of the game. Here's Cousins, looks, lobbing, end zone, caught, touchdown, Drake London.
So Drake London made a really nice touchdown catch last week that resulted in a hip injury. He left the game, did ultimately not return to that one, and there was some concern about him this week, but early reports in say that Drake London is expected to go today against the Saints in New Orleans. So a division rivalry game, Falcons in New Orleans. London will be available. Pretty much a must start for most teams out there in virtually every format.
Does throw, looking for the end zone. You got to lob it to get both feet in. They say touchdown for now. Touchdown for now for Chris Olave.
Well, Chris Olave has been placed on injured reserve with yet another concussion. He will be gone for at least the next 4 weeks. That really does hinder the New Orleans offense. The wide receiving options with Rashid Shaheed already done for the season are extremely limited. Not feeling great right now about that passing game, even though Derek Carr has returned. You're just looking at it and wondering what the Saints can actually do offensively. It concerns me, actually. I think the biggest fantasy question I have regarding this is, how will this impact Taysom Hill, who I usually like as a tight end option in most leagues? I do wonder, though, if they're going to struggle so much offensively that they won't be able to score too many touchdowns, you know, maybe one or two at most. I'm going to probably advise most people to ride with Taysom Hill for one more week, especially because he was productive against the Falcons the last time these two teams squared off earlier in the season. But again, the offense now, you've got Mason Tipton and Cedric Wilson likely being the starters. Marquez Valdez-Scantling as well is an option for Derek Carr in the Saints passing game. None of those are very appealing. So I'm very concerned about the Saints offense. It also does make me a little bit skittish about Alvin Kamara, but he, of course, is somebody who we know is going to see huge volume, so you have to continue to use him, at least for this week.
No huddle, second and three at the eight. Back to B-Rock, right up the middle. Takes on two Panthers, dive for the goal line. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Brian Robinson has done it again!
So the Commanders will be without their ace in the backfield, Brian Robinson. He's out yet another week with the hamstring injury, which means Austin Eckler will continue to see a more of a featured role. He's definitely an option in PPR formats, definitely as a flex. Very interesting there. Although I will caution folks out there, the Steelers bring in a stout defense to Landover, Maryland, and the Commanders have struggled lately in the red zone. We saw them go 0-for-3 against the Bears a couple of weeks ago, and then last week they were just 3-of-6 in the red zone. So that efficiency that was really leading them to that 7-2 record has kind of fallen off a little bit over the last couple of weeks. So something to just keep an eye on. You know, I think Daniels, McLaurin, you're probably using in most cases, but I'm a little bit concerned about this tough Steelers matchup this week in Washington. Meanwhile, for the Jacksonville Jaguars, who will be hosting the Minnesota Vikings, I should mention this. I don't know how much it's really affecting fantasy folks who have Trevor Lawrence, but he's not going to play today. Could he undergo season-ending surgery? That is certainly on the table, it seems, with a left shoulder issue. But he's not going to play this week. Mac Jones is going to start for the Jaguars. What does that do for Brian Thomas? I think this is going to be one where it really depends on your options. Brian Thomas, extremely talented rookie who we've loved what we've seen from him so far this year. I do sometimes wonder, you have Mac Jones who has started plenty of games in his NFL career, albeit not necessarily the results you'd like, but at least he's seen plenty of NFL defenses in his day, so I would think that Brian Thomas will be a priority for the Jags to get the ball to. So the Vikings, Brian Flores, it's not going to be an easy matchup. I certainly wouldn't advise starting Mac Jones, but I think you have to wonder if you can still use Brian Thomas. And this week, I think in most cases, I probably would be doing that. Will Levis will be under center for the Tennessee Titans. I'm not even going to play a highlight for Will Levis. The only concerning thing here is if you're a Calvin Ridley owner. Ridley's been better over the last couple of weeks, but that was with Mason Rudolph under center. That will not be the case today in SoFi Stadium as the Titans visit the Chargers. So don't feel great about Calvin Ridley today. Meanwhile, in the game of the week for Fox, we will have, of course, I don't know if you, this is a little bit of a surprise. How about this one? The Cowboys getting the primetime featured game on Fox.
Snap back on second and goal. Good block from Guyton. And Prescott has to avoid pressure. Runs into his blocker. Runs at the 10. Flips it in the end zone. And Dowdle hung on despite contact. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Prescott gets the shotgun snap. he's back to pass. Prescott looking. Going deep down the field. Lamb wide open again.
Wow.
And he's got it for the touchdown. CeeDee Lamb again, all by his lonesome.
All right, so it's probably the last time you'll hear Dak Prescott highlights on the show this year as he has been placed on injured reserve. And late last night, there was a report from Adam Schefter that it was looking likely for Dak Prescott to undergo season-ending surgery on that hamstring injury that he suffered. So all signs pointing to Dak being done for the year. You can go ahead and release him, even if he did return late in the year. If he doesn't, for some reason, undergo the season-ending surgery, which I would really be surprised at this point. But even if he did return, the roster spot, I think, is far too valuable to waste on a backup quarterback at this point. No reason to hang on. I also played a CeeDee Lamb highlight there because he did leave last week's game with a shoulder injury. It was an AC joint injury. But he was a participant in practice all week long and by Friday was completely removed from the injury report. So CeeDee Lamb will be out there. You go ahead and have to use him. He is going to be the focal point of their offense, the Cowboys. So even with Cooper Rush starting today for the Cowboys, I'm still going to go ahead and use CeeDee Lamb in virtually every case. Can't imagine too many rosters where I would say don't use CeeDee Lamb.
Goddard in motion. Hurts, fake, rolls right, throws Goddard, and he'll walk into the end zone, untouched for an Eagles score.
There's a tight end if you need one. Goddard will be back for the Eagles this week, so you can go ahead and get him back into the lineup, especially for anybody out there who's been relying on Brock Bowers or maybe Tucker Kraft, who are both on bye. You've got the Browns, Packers, Raiders, and Seahawks all on bye this week, so you might need a little bit of help. Dallas Goedert returns for the Eagles this week, so maybe he can be your answer there. Now, Sunday Night Football. This is the one where I think a lot of folks are hoping that they can fire up this guy.
He's going to gun it long, and Nico Collins is there at the 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll! Touchdown, H-Town!
Will H-Town have Nico back this week? That is the question. Now, he was activated from injured reserve, but he's still being listed as questionable, and of course it is the Sunday night game where the Texans host the Detroit Lions. So all I can say is it looks like you wouldn't think they would activate Nico Collins and not use him, but he's still being listed as questionable. So I think you, and there's been enough smoke this week where they may wait an extra week. So I do think you have to be prepared with an alternative option in the event that Nico is not available last minute on Sunday Night Football, which means, you know, Tank Dell is expected to play. He's listed as questionable as well, but he's expected to play tonight. So if you have Tank Dell and Nico, Tank can maybe be your backup option there. If Nico doesn't go, Jameson Williams will be returning for the Detroit Lions from suspension this week. So maybe Jameson could be your alternate option if you're waiting on Nico. Otherwise, you'll have to wait for Monday Night Football. And a lot of these guys, I wouldn't imagine, would be alternatives because most of these guys are going to be in your lineup, including this guy.
Play action, take two, a back to throw, wants a deep one. Downfield, he's got Tyreek. Tyreek at the 40, 35, 39, down the sideline he goes. Touchdown, Miami.
All right, Tyreek Hill. Or should he be in your lineup? Maybe that's the better question, because he's listed as questionable with a wrist injury. And Mike McDaniel, usually pretty forthright when it comes to the injury report, was legitimately concerned about Tyreek Hill. And it's the Monday night game. And oh yeah, by the way, Tyreek Hill hasn't had a reception over 30 yards since week one. Of course, Tua was out for several weeks earlier this year, and that was a huge hindrance for Tyreek Hill's stats. However, I just want to point out he's got this wrist injury. There is a chance we might find out tomorrow that he's inactive, so I don't know who you're going to turn to in that event. Wouldn't feel great about potentially using maybe DeMarcus Robinson on the Rams roster. Jalen Waddle at this point has been MIA all over the place this season, so really don't feel comfortable using him. So, you know, Tyreek Hill, that's one where if you've got a pretty solid option that you like that's playing today on Sunday, I might not wait it out with Tyreek Hill just because the Dolphins offense has struggled so much since Tua left with the concussion. Even though he's back, he wasn't great last week. And so I might just wait and put Tyreek Hill on the bench this week because I am a little bit concerned he may not play for the Dolphins on Monday Night Football, as again, they go to visit the LA Rams. For the Rams, for the most part, Cooper Kupp, we know he's been back for a couple of weeks. Puka Nacua returns from his ejection last week. That didn't help any fantasy owners out there, but he will be back and starting for the Rams. And again, as I mentioned, DeMarcus Robinson was probably the biggest beneficiary of Nacua's ejection, as he had a couple of touchdowns last week. I would imagine he will not be the focal point like he was last week with Puka Nacua back. Let's assume that Puka is not going to be ejected this week for throwing a punch. That would be outright maddening if he got ejected two straight weeks. All right, there you go. There's all the key injury news for week 10. 312-332-3776. Up next, I take all your calls on the Fantasy Football Show presented by Tullum Mardu. Welcome back to the Fantasy Football Show presented by Tullum Mardu. I am Jeff Meller indeed. Just had a nice pleasant surprise. Tracy Butler popped into the studio asking me a question for her daughter's fantasy football team and also giving me a weather update for today's Bears game. Of course, you'll hear today's Bears game right here like you do every week. On the home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago, Bears kick off at noon hosting the Patriots, and Tracy Butler was telling me that consistent winds 25 to 30 miles per hour today at the Bears game with gusts up to 37. So winds, you know, I always say 30, when you start to hear 30 mile per hour winds, especially consistently throughout the game, that's where things could have an impact fantasy wise. And already we know that the Bears are dealing with a makeshift offensive line. Matt Eberflus wouldn't even commit to who his starters will be, although I kind of think that there's only one really strong possibility. You'd have to imagine that Larry Borum will be your starting left tackle, Tevin Jenkins at left guard. I think Coleman Shelton will be at center. Sounds like Ryan Bates will be your starting, or at least I would imagine he'll be your starting right guard as he is activated, and then that means that Matt Pryor will kick to the outside at right tackle. At least that's what looks logically like the most likely Bears offensive line, which is going to make me a little bit skittish about using someone like DeAndre Swift or Caleb or Rome. Squeaky wheel theory. Does DJ Moore get some extra targets this week because of all of the issues that we talked about all week long right here on your home of the Chicago Bears. I think that's a possibility. So I think I'm still using DJ Moore in most cases. I think Caleb's going to look for an opportunity to get him the ball. But as I just mentioned, those wins at Soldier Field can be tricky, so it's a little bit concerning there. 8:30 today, 8:30 Central Time, we're going to have the game in Germany where the Panthers, technically the home team, will be hosting the New York Giants in a game that will have strong factors on who ultimately potentially gets that number one overall pick in next year's draft. Loser might be the big winner today. Chuba Hubbard signed an extension earlier this week, which if you ever were concerned about continuing to ride Chuba Hubbard, I think this just goes to show you he's been extremely productive and the Panthers are happy to have him along for the next, you know, it was a 4-year, $33 million contract. Obviously, wouldn't be stunned if for whatever reason, that's not, you don't see him, you know, the years are, they're made up. They can always very easily get out of an NFL contract after a couple of years. But anyway, $15 million fully guaranteed. So the Panthers have made a commitment to Chuba Hubbard for at least the next couple of years. I know some folks were hoping Jonathan Brooks could be their answer. He is not active today. Not active. So you're going to have to wait on Jonathan Brooks for at least another week. So go ahead and use Chuba Hubbard this week against the Giants in Germany. Again, 8:30 kick. So make sure all your Panthers and Giants are sorted out and accommodated for your lineup because that kicks off in just over an hour. All right, let's get out to the phones and let's say good morning to our buddy Mike in Mount Prospect. How you doing, Mikey?
I'm doing all right, Jeff. This is a little different. I'm looking for week 12 here. I have one quarterback that I carry on my team always, and I have more than one. It's Josh Allen. He's going to be on a bye on the week 12, but I got to act today, so that's why I'm calling today about week 12.
All right.
I've got two options on the waiver wire, and they're pretty decent. I got two. He's at home, which he's a different quarterback, and I know, you know, with Hill and Waddle the way they are today, but 2 weeks from now, and they're playing New England, which is a pretty good matchup. So that's the one option. And the second option, I can pick up Justin Herbert, who's at home, but he's against Baltimore. But Burrow put up 400 yards and four touchdowns. So
no doubt.
One of those two for the future.
Yeah, so Mike, I think Mike's the way he's practicing his and managing his fantasy roster is exactly the way you want to try and do it. I agree with you completely, Mike. If you can, carrying one quarterback is always advisable unless your league is absolutely one that clings to all the backup quarterbacks and then there's just nothing on the waiver wire. But most leagues aren't like that. So the way you're thinking about this, I think I'd lean towards grabbing Tua here. The truth is that even though Herbert has been extremely efficient, the Chargers, we kind of know what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. Obviously, in a game against his brother, John, in a couple of weeks, they're going to, I would imagine, continue to try and control the clock and keep Lamar Jackson off the field as much as possible, which might increase the Chargers' chances of winning that football game. But from a fantasy perspective, might not increase your chances if you're starting Justin Herbert. I think there's a lot of opportunities for Tua. So the only thing that could burn you, obviously, is we are concerned about Tua's injury issues, you know, but and so 2 weeks out, might you have to make a pivot if something happens to Tua? Sure, that's certainly possible. But if you're planning ahead trying to game it out this week, I would look at wanting to use Tua right now in week 12 as opposed to Justin Herbert. All right, there you go. A little forecasting well in advance. I like that, Mike, though. You're a planner, and that is usually good in fantasy football. Let's try Dave, who's in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, with something a little bit more pressing for today. What's going on, Dave?
Jeff, I got Dak and Lawrence, who are probably done for the year in a super flex league, and I got Geno Smith on bye.
Yes.
I need to have at least one quarterback. Who would you suggest out of these four that are on waivers? Rush, Levis, Young, or Mac Jones? And do you like Swift over Hunt today?
I'm a little concerned about Swift with the offensive line. The Bears' issues, you know, and the Patriots are a mess. The wind, you know, I just know that the Chiefs, though, have given Hunt so much volume. It's a tough matchup for them against Denver's defense. I think I would still, though, Dave, use Hunt just because the volume's been there. And, in the red zone, you know he's going to get those carries, whereas Swift's might give way to Roschon. So I think I'd go with Hunt over DeAndre Swift. There's just too many things not working for the Bears right now. And then in terms of your quarterbacks, I think Bryce Young, believe it or not, he looked better last week. He's got a decent matchup this week for the Giants. So if you could only go with one, I think Bryce Young of those options is probably the most interesting. I don't trust Will Levis at all. Boy, I'm trying to think like long term. I think Bryce Young might be your best solution for the season. But if you're just going with for 1 week, I think I'd prefer Cooper Rush this week, Dave.
Okay. But yeah, that's who I was leaning towards, was Rush. They're going to have to throw the ball.
Yeah. And he's got CeeDee Lamb. But the question is, can you make room on your roster so you can also grab Bryce Young and just have him on the roster?
Would you drop Jordan Mason for that?
Yeah, boy. In a super flex, Dave, I think I might. Just because, if Bryce Young does anything this week, he's going to be scooped up next week. I do think McCaffrey's going to be back. Mason's dealt with his own injuries. So I think I honestly, in a super flex league, would grab Bryce Young and Cooper Rush this week and dump Jordan Mason.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
Right.
Have a good day.
Take it
good
easy,
luck.
Dave. Appreciate it. 312-332-3776. Let's try CJ, who is in Shanahan. Good morning, CJ.
Good morning, Jeff. I'm in a pickle here for a running back question.
Okay.
For that PPR. I got Breece Hall or Kareem Hunt.
Oh boy, half point PPR. You said right. I'm still going to use Breece Hall. I do think, we saw the Jets offensively look better the last time we saw him play on Thursday Night Football, and he didn't score a touchdown, so that kind of made his game look a little more pedestrian. But I feel like they were getting things going a little bit. So even though I just talked up Kareem Hunt because of his volume, I think Breece Hall, the volume that he sees, it feels like Braylon Allen might now be relegated to more of the traditional backup role where he only sees four or five touches, and they might be leaning a little more on Breece Hall down the second half of the stretch here. So I think I'd go with him still, CJ.
All right, thanks. That's
all right, let's slip in one more before we take one more quick timeout. Let's try TJ, who is on the south side. What's up, TJ?
Morning, guys. Good morning. All right, my question is PPR, I need three of the four. I have Terry McLaurin, Debo Samuel, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Ladd McConkey. I got to drop one of them.
So of those options, I'm definitely using McLaurin and Debo. Yeah. And then, boy, Marv versus Ladd McConkey. Is it PPR or standard?
PPR.
Yeah, in PPR, I think I'd go with Ladd McConkey. The Jets defense hasn't been great this year, so Marvin Harrison certainly could be in for a decent game. But I think in PPR, I trust McConkey to see five or six catches, whereas you saw last week the Cardinals ran all over the Bears and didn't really need Marvin Harrison. So I'm a little bit concerned about his usage, especially if the Cardinals are doing what they actually want to do and they're grounding the ball pounding the ball on the ground game. I think I'd be a little bit concerned. So I'd use McConkey in the PPR format, TJ, admitting that Marvin has the ability for, big plays there. So, Terry, Debo are both solid options. Maybe as I talk this through, I might just keep Marvin Harrison in my lineup for the big play possibilities. I do feel like he kind of needs that touchdown to make your week these days, but McConkey feels like the safe play. Marv feels like the home run swing. So I might go with Marvin Harrison when you've already got McLaurin and Debo. All right, 312-332-3776. Plenty more time to take your calls here on the Fantasy Football Show presented by Telemordu. Hanging out with you till 8 o'clock when Black and Abdallah will take over with your Bears pre-game coverage. Of course, Waddle, Sylvie, Dion will have your Bears Network pregame show starting at 10 today, leading right into Bears and Patriots. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer on the call. J-Mac, Jason McKee will be on the sidelines. Peggy and Yurko will be handling the postgame, and then I will be back with J-Mac and Pat the Designer for your post-postgame show tonight. So full day of Bears coverage as you get each and every Bears game right game day right here on your home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN 1000. Let's try Scott, who is in Merrillville on the Fantasy Football Show. What's up, Scotty?
Hey, how you doing, my good man?
Doing well.
So I was one of them victims of Chase this week.
Oh.
So, I assume, like, I'm down 68-7 in the morning game as it started. So I don't really anticipate winning.
Mm-hmm.
If any of these guys I give you is maybe they're like boom or bust type
yes.
guy. So also, my thinking is also, well, you know what, since you're going to lose this week, at least try to maximize points because that does affect my seeding. You know what I'm saying
yeah.
in terms of positioning? Okay, so it's a PPR, full PPR. I got Jameson Williams in this flex position. I was going to ask if you like him or Waddle. And I would also, I looked at my best available backs on my bench, and I do have Tank Bisbee. So it's really one out of those three. Who do you think would help me in terms of maybe floor or in this, you know, winless battle that I
sure.
have this week? You know, who do you like out of those
yeah.
three?
I think you're on the right track, Scott. I'm with you with Jameson Williams. He returns this week. They're indoors at home hosting the – or actually, I'm sorry, they're on the road, but it's still indoors taking on the Houston Texans. And the truth is that, you know, if you're looking for a guy who could rip off two, maybe three long touchdowns in a similar fashion to what Jamar Chase did to you on Thursday night, you know, Jameson Williams is the option. Jalen Waddle, boy, I mean, could there be a scenario where if Tyreek Hill doesn't play, Waddle sees – big volume, yes, but again, there's so much uncertainty with Tyreek Hill right now with questionable that I can't say, you know, I guess if Tyreek Hill was out, if we got word today before Sunday Night Football started, Scott, that Tyreek Hill was out, okay, then I would probably use Waddle over Jameson Williams, but I don't think we're going to have that clarity until tomorrow on Tyreek Hill, and if Hill's playing, I don't trust Waddle anymore these days. So, and Tank Bigsby, a non-factor for me, doesn't really catch the ball in PPR format, and with Mac Jones starting for the Jags today, I don't really feel good about them. So I would use Jameson Williams, understanding that, you know, Waddle's got a little bit more of a floor, but, you know, you're already down big, and I get wanting to maximize the points. I think Jameson Williams, though, is your best bet. He's the guy who I think you could look back and be like, regret not starting because he scored a couple of long touchdowns, whereas I don't think that is much the case with Jalen Waddle these days. We just haven't seen it from that Miami Dolphins offense, you know, since Tua was injured and since he's returned. Let's go on out to Denver and say good morning to Isaac. What's up, Isaac?
Good morning, Jeff Miller.
What up?
Ski resorts are open. Snow is falling.
My wife was mentioning that to me the other day, Isaac. She's like, hey, just so you know, they've gotten some fresh powder out there. They're opening them up.
That's right, man. Come on out.
We'll be there soon enough, I promise.
Man, it's a good thing something good's happening because this Bears season has just been so frustrating. And I thought they finally had their act together. And the one thing that I was confident in was DeAndre Swift, because he was turning into like a top 20, top 15 fringe
mm-hmm.
fantasy running back. And I was like, all right, I can start him and forget. And then now you talk about the line issues, and I'm like, oh, man.
You know, the thing is, you know what, though, Isaac, I will say it's still a good matchup against the Patriots this week. It was more like that was like Kareem Hunt versus Swift, you know, but I still think most people can feel pretty good about using Swift today on paper. The matchup looks good. Hopefully whatever they cobble together on the line will be good enough to give Swift some running lanes. You know, what I don't love is obviously that Roschon Johnson lurks near the goal line. So for fantasy purposes, that hurts him a little bit, but he's still going to catch the ball. So I still feel pretty good about DeAndre Swift from a fantasy perspective.
That's good. Well, I'll modify my question real quick. So I need two of these five for half-point PPR. One's DeAndre Swift. The other's Javonte Williams, Xavier Leggett, Cade Otton, who is still actually being pretty good mm-hmm. with those injuries. And then the last one, I picked up Rome Odunze, which I feel like I want to wait a little bit to see if his rapport with Caleb is, like, consistent. But though I need two of those five. Hey, love your work, Jeff. Bear down.
Thanks, Isaac. Appreciate it. So, yeah, I'm still using Swift, and I do think, you know, the win that I mentioned, Tracy Butler mentioned to me last commercial break, it's going to be 25 to 30 mile per winds consistently with up to 37 mile per hour gusts. So that could be a difficult passing environment for Caleb today. So, yeah, I'm with you. Let's wait on using Rome today, especially because of that wind. Definitely, I like Swift of those options. And then, you know, like I don't want to use Javonte Williams against the Chiefs, so I've already crossed him off. So it comes down to Kate Otten versus Xavier Leggett. Leggett, of course, playing in that Germany game, which kicks off in about 45 minutes from now. The Panthers playing the Giants. And he scored a couple weeks in a row, Xavier Leggett. I do like him, but of the options, I think I'd use Otten because clearly Baker's been favoring him without Evans and Godwin. So I think I'd go for the volume play. I want to see Xavier Leggett get a little more involved in terms of volume in the passing game before I feel great about using him. Let's go on out to Don, who is in Warrenville. Donnie, what's up, my man?
How you doing there, Jeff?
Doing hey, well.
I have a two quarterbacks who are playing each other. It's PPR, C.J. Stroud or Jared Goff. I'm having trouble deciding.
So, you know, unless Nico Collins is out, it's pretty clearly Goff for me. But and the only thing that I would be a little, you know, I think you concern yourself a little bit with Goff is that they do run the football so well that sometimes it does, you know, cap his ceiling in terms of fantasy purposes. But I trust the Lions offense too much these days. So, and Stroud, the Houston Texans offensive line has been almost as bad as the Bears the last couple of weeks. So, I would use Goff over Stroud today, especially because we haven't really seen Nico back out there. So, I would use Goff over Stroud.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, Don, take it easy. 312-332-3776. One more segment to go here on the Fantasy Football Show before Black and Abdallah take over for your Bears pre-game coverage. Up next, Justin Pottinger gives us his daily fantasy play right here on the Fantasy Football Show on ESPN 1000. Segment here on the Fantasy Football Show with you every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. during the football season, taking your calls, talking fantasy football with you. I am Jeff Meller. Again, you can hit me up on Twitter at Jeff_Meller, or do you say X? M-E-L-L-E-R. If you get them in before 11 a.m. Central Time, I will do my best to answer those questions for you. Anything after that, no promises. It's this time of the show when I bring in Justin Pottinger, my producer, to give me his daily fantasy pick. Last week, I believe we had Chase Brown as a big winner. Justin, who do you have for the folks this week?
Yeah, Chase Brown was a big-time smash, and this week we're going with another running back, and he actually plays in about 30 minutes here. We're going Giants running back Tyrone Tracy Jr., who has been the clear workhorse running back for the Giants for a couple weeks now, averaging near 18.5 opportunities per game in the last five games, with three top 10 performances in that span. This is also a dream matchup for Tracy. I mean, he's playing against the Panthers, who has given up the most fantasy points to running backs so far this season. And Tracy, he's averaging close to 100 total yards per game now, and he's taken up just about 78% of the running back carries in New York. So, I mean, he is the clear workhorse running back. There's no more Singletary. It is all Tracy. And just like Chase Brown last week, Giants are heavy favorites in this game, which means Tracy should see positive game script throughout the game. Even if the Giants are up a couple scores in the second half, they'll still be feeding him the rock. He's about 6,100 in FanDuel and DraftKings lineups. His line today, 75.5 rushing yards, which is always a beautiful thing to see with any of your fantasy players. And just a couple guys I'd start him over: J.K. Dobbins, Kareem Hunt, James Cook, DeAndre Swift, even Najee Harris. I'm locking in Tyrone Tracy in my lineups this week, Jeff.
All right, I think I agree with you in terms of the matchup looks very tasty and enticing. Don't get too far ahead of yourself about predicting how the game will play out, because oftentimes we're wrong about that.
Yes,
Nevertheless, though, I'm with you. The defensive matchup is great, and Tracy has clearly become the guy who's going to see the most touches as long as he's healthy and out there on the field, even more so than Malik Nabers because of the running back position. So I like it, Justin. Let's go on out to, let's try Ali, who's in Rogers Park. What do you got, Ali?
Hey there, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Just wanted to say thank you very much number one in both leagues, and all, a lot of that is due to your help. So very much appreciated.
My pleasure, man.
I got offered a trade in my work league, where I'm sorry, I offered a trade. I tried to trade with one of my coworkers. This team is 1-7, and they have Christian McCaffrey, and I'm number one, so I'm trying to see if I could help. I have David Montgomery, and I'm wondering if just a trade straight up for David Montgomery, and I would get Christian McCaffrey to send David Montgomery.
So here's the thing, Ali. I would do that every day and twice on Sunday, where I would be, if I'm trading away David Montgomery from McCaffrey. Here's the thing. You also have to recognize there's a social aspect of fantasy football when you're approaching and trying to trade, where the guy who's held on to Christian McCaffrey all season long fought through. He's 1-7. The truth is, if he's going to make a run and, you know, rip off what would be 7 straight wins to try and get back into playoff contention, he's going to need McCaffrey. So I don't think David Montgomery alone is going to get it done. In fact, he might be somewhat insulted. At least if I was the McCaffrey owner, I'd be a little like, really? You're going to try and grab the guy who I've been sitting on all season long? So I think you're going to have to come a little bit stronger with an offer than just that. So I don't think that's going to get it done. If it does, kudos to you. Let's try Lewis, who is in Columbus, Ohio. What's going on, Lou?
What's up, boss? How you doing?
Good, man. Doing well.
Good. So I got Kyler Murray, and on the wire, I'm looking at maybe picking up Rodgers. Stafford's there. I'm not sure what to do. Kyler's been killing me. The problem, too, this week is I'm behind points because the opponent had Chase. So I don't even know if this is a move for this week.
Yeah, so I would say, Lewis, here's the thing. I don't think Rodgers or Stafford are going to be the solution that necessarily gets you over the top. If anything, like Kyler Murray's running ability, at least for fantasy purposes, could be, you know, if things fall his way, we were just talking about game script, but if the Cardinals find themselves behind and he needs to scramble a bit, I think Murray's more likely to have the big fantasy day, even though I know they've been relying on the ground game quite a bit lately. I think Murray's the guy who's likely to have a big monster game as opposed to Rodgers or Stafford, who you know are not really going to get you any real running points. Let's try A-Rod, who's in Morton Grove. What do you got, A-Rod?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, man, I need 2 out of the 5.
Mm-hmm.
I got Connor, Montgomery, Hunt, McCaffrey, and Shakir.
Is it PPR or standard?
PPR, yep.
Yeah, so I'm still going to use Christian McCaffrey. Listen, you've waited this long. Get him in your lineup. I feel good about that. And I think I would use James Conner. It's close between Hunt and Conner, but it's kind of a coin flip there. I have them right next to each other in my ranks, 16, 17, with no real difference. So I think I would use Conner. But if you wanted to try and bet on the potential goal line carries for Hunt, I don't hate it. So, all right, out of time, folks. Thanks for listening. As always, do appreciate it. Thanks to Justin Pottinger and Sean Graney for producing today. Up next, Bleck and Abdallah have your pregame coverage. And again, as I mentioned, I'll be back with Jason McKee and Pat the Designer later tonight after Peggy and Yurko have your initial pregame show, postgame show. We'll be back with the postgame show. So talk to you later tonight right here on your home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN 1000.